Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg, line of scrimmage, Zwinak left side, breaks tackles, and is in. Touchdown, Penn State.
Over to the right side with the carry is Turber to the end zone. Touchdown, Shikalimi.
Put down by Ryan, kick is up by Ficken, and a kick by Sam Ficken is good. And the Nittany Lions now have a seven-point lead.
Graves knocking on the door, handoff right side, leaning ahead, and touchdown. Shikalimi as McCreary just sneaks it over and breaks the plane of the goal. And the Braves have the lead for the first time tonight.
Snap of the money put down. Kick is up by Sam Ficken, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good. And Penn State has that two-score lead.
Here comes Gower. Back to pass. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Lewisburg Newcomb had nobody looking at him on the post pattern.
With some time, pump fakes. Long and deep. Wide open, Geno Lewis. He's got the 40. 30. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, 79 yards for Christian Hackenberg to Geno Lewis.
It's a screen pass to Turber, halfback pass, and it is caught for a touchdown! Nick Dunn makes the catch as Turber on the halfback pass grabs it in the end zone, and the Braves tied at 20-all with the extra point pending on the most exciting play of the ball game.
Good snap, put down to win the game. The kick is up, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good! And the Nittany Lions dramatically win the first game of the James Franklin era as Sam Ficken knocks it home 26-24.
And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. But you find out how they can take great care of your insurance needs. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565 with Bob Buhner in the house.
Hey, Steve, anything exciting happened this weekend?
Nah.
Other than touchdown, Shikalimi.
Oh, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Those last two highlights were pretty similar in intensity.
They were.
Those last two were pretty similar in intensity.
There was a...
I think he got ill.
And while Kevin was making his call, we kicked off, and it's third down.
It's the fourth quarter now.
Two great, thrilling games on WKOK Friday night and Saturday morning.
Yeah. It sounded like Shikalimi got off to a great start. It sounded like it was a fun game. I can't really comment too much on it for obvious reasons, but still, it sounded like there was a lot of fun. So,
you know, that was a back-and-forth game the entire game, 21-20 final score. You can't beat that to start the year. You have a nice game where you come from behind. You know, Shikalimi showed the ability to overcome adversity, and that's something Coach Todd Tilford is very excited about this year. He thinks that the mindset of this team is very, very conducive to being able to do that whenever they need to.
Both
and now half the teams in the state still have dreams.
That's right.
Yes. The other half have had them flushed. Welcome to September.
I opened up the broadcast with 592 high school football teams in the state of Pennsylvania that will start this weekend. And you're right. Half of them now have an undefeated season going on.
296 and 1-0.
Yeah. I said, hi, and welcome to Ireland. All right, let's go.
Yeah, not nearly as much fun.
Yeah. So, Steve, quite a great time over in Ireland, I imagine.
No, it really was. It was well done. It was the trip. It was actually pretty easy. The only thing you have to do is that when you get there, just make sure you stay awake until night. I finally went to bed with the idea. Well, because you flew overnight, mm-hmm. with the idea that when you wake up the next morning at 7 or 8 in the morning, and it's 7 or 8 in the morning on your body clock because you went to bed at 11.
No, wait, you went to bed at 11 in Ireland or 11 in Pennsylvania? I'm confused. See, that when you said you went to bed at 11, I'm not sure which 11 you went to bed.
In Ireland.
Okay.
Steve, I did see...
Because when you wake up, you want to wake up at 7 or 8 in the morning in Ireland.
Gotcha. All right. I'm just clarifying it for my own benefit.
Steve, I saw a picture of you and Jack at the Penn State pep rally Friday night. The reports were there were at least 10,000 Penn State fans. How was that atmosphere?
Well, we're down at O'Neill's after an extremely entertaining cab ride in. I will tell you that the 45-year-old cab drive, because I mean we're 45 kilometers out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean we were not close to Dublin, and this guy was a show unto himself. Jack was sitting in the front seat. We're sitting in the back seat. And this guy's going on, and I gave him a 10 euro tip because I thought he was pretty funny. And so we get there, and we got there. I don't know, 3:30, and we weren't supposed to be on over there till 4:30. So. I don't want to get there early.
Of course not. No. Can't have that now, can we?
Well, the thing was people weren't... The bottom line was people weren't supposed to know that we were there. Okay, we were
it was a big surprise.
We were the surprise guests is what it was.
All right.
So, Jeff... it was just Jeff, Lauren was with us, too. Jeff, Lauren, Jack, and I. Roger didn't go. Went to this place that was recommended by the cab driver.
For good reason.
Look, in New York City, there's a Starbucks literally every block. There are three pubs every block in Ireland. They are a happy-go-lucky group. Okay? And so we went over there, and we, you know, grabbed something quick, a little quick something to eat as well. Then we went over there. Okay? We thought that there'd be... You know, a couple thousand people there. And we get over there, and two of us looked at each other like, this might be a little bigger than we thought.
I mean, it looked almost like the end of World War II in New York City ticker tape parade. There were so many people in the streets.
Well, but that doesn't, standing down, because we had to go down, walk behind this group, walk behind the stage, and they put us in this pub. Right, as a quote, a staging area. And you know, and we saw there's a lot of people, but then when you get introduced and you go up on stage and you can actually see it, two of us looked at each other and went, oh my god.
now this is the photo you sent me that we put on stevejonesshow.com.
That looks from the stage.
I mean, it literally looks like an entire block. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of New Year's Eve, Times Square, where you can't see the road. That's what it looked like.
Well, yeah. Well, the other part, too, is that you probably can't see are all the people hanging out the windows. And really? You looked around, they're all hanging out the windows looking at this thing. And I was like, so I looked over at Jack and go, that's pretty cool. And he looks at me and says, your heart rate's always 45. That's what he says to me.
I can relate.
Your heart rate's always 45. Even before the game tomorrow, your heart rate's going to be 45. I'm like, yeah, probably.
He's absolutely right.
So like I said, but this is pretty cool. You know, and not only that, you look straight down. What that picture doesn't show you is you look left, it was the same. You look to the right, it's the same. It was amazing. I mean, as I've told every group that I've spoken to this year, and Kevin, you heard me with the Northumberland group, okay? That, look, a big reason why the program has been able to survive, okay? There have been multiple reasons. A big one's the fans. I mean, without the fans, this doesn't survive. And believe me, thanking them, as far as I'm concerned, is imperative because they don't survive. This program doesn't survive if 25 to 30,000 people show up. My message to any bowl game that takes Penn State is going to be this. those people are showing up at your place if somebody in Indianapolis gets smart and drops the sanction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's some money to be made at your bowl game.
Yeah.
And well, that's the magic thing right there. How much money can you get it bring in your bowl game?
All right. Now, the next part is, if I were to talk to the Big Ten athletic directors, I would recommend this trip to them because as an opening game. But be smart about what you're doing. You know, try to schedule the next next week as a bye week or a Monday night game or something like that. Yeah. Get it out of that next week. Now, I will say this. Penn State has no issue right now. None. We flew back, and the deal on the way back, people have asked me left and right about jet lag. And I don't know what you're talking about.
That's
and the
right.
Play, I mean, look, the game ended. The game ended at, what did the game end at? At like 11:45 in the morning Eastern time?
Right around noon.
Yeah, I was going to say it was just before noon because I didn't get have lunch yet.
We were off the air at 12:30, whatever, and we were out at the airport by 2 o'clock, I think. I mean, we were out of it, but they gave everybody food. We got out of there. There was no lollygagging, no lunch deal, anything like that. We were up and out. And when it's when your body clock is already adjusted to this thing in such a way, I mean, maybe for like maybe 30 minutes, I napped on the plane just out of boredom. But for the most part, everybody was awake on the way back because it was the middle of the afternoon, early evening. It was no big deal. And so I don't think it was the travel back and in terms of how they're going to be on Saturday, it's no issue. And the other part of this is that they had yesterday off completely. James practices Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday anyway. That's always what he does. Okay? He always wants Monday to be an academic day. A lot of coaches are doing this pattern now. He's one of the coaches that does this pattern. Well, what makes it better for Penn State in this scenario is that yesterday was Labor Day. There weren't any classes anyway. So the players had all day yesterday off. So they should be able to get back on the practice field today pretty refreshed and set to go. So the travel back, the travel part, no issue.
What time did you land in Harrisburg then Saturday night?
We didn't. We went to Pittsburgh.
Oh, you went to Pittsburgh?
Customs for larger groups are easier in Pittsburgh.
And then from Pittsburgh, did you fly into State College?
Or no, we bussed. We bussed. And we got back at the State College at about 2:45 in the morning. Somewhere around there, 2:45 in the morning. But it was fine.
Yep.
No big deal. I mean, really, the travel part's no big deal. It really isn't. To me it's a non-issue to really talk about. I mean, if this were Mike and Mike in the morning, we'd spend the next 3 days doing 4 straight hours of it each day. All right, but that's what they do. I don't like dwelling on irrelevant stuff. Come on, Kevin. Give us one more touchdown, Shikalimi. I love that.
I can't just do it on. It has to be.
I can do it. Touchdown, Shikalimi.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Healthy living.
The heck is the fun of that?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't quite get it.
I haven't lived healthy in a long time. I try, but it doesn't work too well.
You're still here.
I guess that's healthy enough. That's a great look. Thanks, Steve. That's a really great way to look at it.
Hey, you're still here. You must have done something right. You
must be getting something right.
I mean, it's mostly genetics. All right. Today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. And we're joined by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, great to have you with us. Congrats on the opener.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Was Kevin at a loss for words there? That's one of the first times I've hear him react with a loss for words. I'm not really sure what's going on.
Doesn't happen often.
You know why? It's probably because you guys didn't work yesterday.
I'm out of sync, yeah.
I worked yesterday. He didn't. So
he didn't. I got you. You know, Labor Day. That's what it's supposed to be. Labor.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I labored up broadcasting a baseball game. If you call that work.
Yeah, well, broadcast a baseball game is an art because you got to make them feel like they're there.
All right. Exactly. For you, you win the opening game, 42-38. Now, you have your own style coaching, how you prefer things to be. Scoring more points than the other guy that's the ultimate goal. But is that comfortable for a coach to win a shootout like that?
You know, the way the parity in college football is today, and with some of the rules that they've created for offensive football, and the evolution of the passing game, it's really created situations where these shootouts can occur. And you know, we go up 14-0 and you have momentum in your favor, and then they find their way back into the game and we put one on the ground and then you look and the game's tied. But the good thing is that our kids as a whole kept their composure, kept their confidence up, and you're always concerned about the physical condition that you're in, especially that day, that evening was really hot and muggy. But our kids did not skip a beat. They did not cramp. And I tell my kids all the time, somewhere along the course of the game, there's a game-changing play. And that could be the first play of the game. It could be the last play of the game. You just have to be ready when that game-changing play occurs. And Josh Brake returning a punt for a touchdown when we called safe. And usually you take a fair catch there, but he's smart. He saw that the snap was low, that the kid kicked a line drive, so the coverage wasn't going to get on him right away. And you know, he is not the fastest guy in the world, but he certainly looked fast on that play.
You broke some big plays from scrimmage as well. When you do that, you have to have wide receivers committed to blocking on plays like that. Do you have that?
We do. The effort of everybody working for each other has really been good, and our receivers, they're big enough that even if they're not successful as blockers, they're successful in getting in the way, and that was really evident. The play that C.J. Williams broke, we had 36 seconds left. We're on the minus 25-yard line and three timeouts, and my intent there was to see if we could break a run and then go into a two-minute drill. And leading C.J. down the sideline was Bobby Kasslander. And he, you know, it added yardage. He didn't break into the end zone, but it added yardage. And, you know, three plays later, we're in the end zone. And having three timeouts helps, obviously. It really changes the clock for you. But had we not made positive yardage there, we would have gone into the half basically tied. And, going into the half with a lead with a momentum changes how the kids approach halftime. Doesn't change how the coaches approach halftime, but
right.
And we knew we were getting the possession right off the bat in the third quarter. And you try to make an impact on that third quarter possession, whether it's points or changing the field. And we let them right back in the game there. And their quarterback really played well. He's well coached, and they started to tempo their passing game with three-step concepts, and it really minimized the effectiveness of our pressure, so we wanted to play in more zone coverage and just trying to keep everything in front of us.
C.J. ran for 164 yards, C.J. Williams. Matt Del Moro at 95, but then R.J. Nitti passed for 230. How'd you feel about, A, the play calling, and B, the balance of this?
No, the play calling is something that we work on all week, so there are certain things we go to in certain situations that we have in a priority order. But I thought that the play calling was aggressive, number one. I think it has to be. Especially when you can run the ball, you're going to get loaded boxes, so you've got to take your shots. And even if you don't make them all, if you make some, and we did, it winds up being something that softens defenses, but it also takes big chunks of yards. One of my friends in the profession called me and said, "You only had the ball for 23 minutes, and that's the price you pay for scoring fast." But I'm not going to argue with that. Usually we're up on the time of possession, but the time of possession that counted was the 5 minutes and 37 seconds that we had left on the clock in the fourth quarter, and we handed the ball to the offensive line. They did a good job with it.
Evan Byers ended up with 23 tackles in the game. Louis Taglinetti ended up with 10. Now, in a game where it's 42-38, you don't talk a lot about a defense, but you obviously must have made enough defensive plays to win the game.
We did, and Tom Bedolis came in for one of the kids that was injured for Matt Steinbeck and really made a nice play on our sideline. And then they were going to go for it. They had a fourth and three and had a delay of game, and it was the second delay of game that should have been called in that drive, but we finally got the officials tuned into the clock. I'm not allowed to comment on the officials.
Sure.
I think that was a Freudian slip there, but then they wound up kicking a field goal, and the last thing I wanted the game to come down to was a field goal, because their kicker has multiple 50-plus yard field goals. He is one of the better kids that I've ever seen, and we were fortunate to get the ball on the ensuing kickoff and then put out the clock. I don't know if Kevin told you, but the last run that Mac Del Muro broke, he ran over their safety, and then he kept running, but he knew we were in what we call downtime, right, where if you get a first down, it's over. And he actually basically took a knee, which is hard to do, because your ego's involved there and you want to score. But victory offense is a lot easier than trying to run the ball. And what it does is it minimizes the snaps. You know, if we go in and score, they get the ball back. And, it's nice to go home with the football in your hands.
Well, you've always told us on this show that you want to give the ball to your offensive line in the fourth quarter. And in this case, they proved that to be prophetic.
They certainly did. You know, those kids played well. They, you know, unfortunately, we played only five. Our intent was to mix some in there, but we didn't really have the ball that much, so it wasn't as if they were getting a lot of reps or they were tired on the sideline. So, but all five of those kids played well, and we frustrated VMI's best player, their nose guard. And what I like about the way our guys do it is they'll hammer them, take a shot here and there that's just a little bit late, but then just walk away. And that's how we try to pattern these kids. You know, don't sit there and talk with them. Just walk away. That frustrates them more.
What does R.J. Nitti give you as a dimension of quarterback that can make you even more effective?
Much stronger downfield arm than we've had here, and that's right. Important. And another thing, too, is that a wise coach once told me that big guys get up, and R.J.'s a big guy, so he can take a hit and just get up. And 6'4", 227, and still a baby. You know, he's a 19-year-old, and I thought he was composed. I thought he made the right decisions. He did put one on the ground that tamed, and one of the guards on the backside thought the pocket was going to continue to move, and he angled his protection that way. And but it goes back to RJ having to have two hands on the ball, and you know they scored off the turnover. It was what's unique in both teams' first games. There was only one turnover. Unfortunately, it was ours.
Right. Second game of the year, you go to Poughkeepsie. You're going to get Marist at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. I know you already turned the page to them. when you turned the page, what did you see?
What you see is a defense that challenges you with pressure. They load the box again. It's we call it a single high box, where we're going to play a free safety most of the game. A lot of movement, and that's the nature of defensive football. Their offense is a spread offense where I'm sure you've heard the term ride and decide. It's
yep.
The quarterback riding, reading, but in this case they don't run, they throw. So if you take away the run, they're going to throw it to the outside, and then it really winds up being a run game, but it's a controlled passing game. And there was some, I used the term earlier, humility is a dish best served on the football field. Some of our defensive kids thought this one was going to be easy, and it wasn't. And I would imagine that in about an hour, we're going to find that those kids are coming ready to work, and they understand that you can't just show up and play. You got to prepare to play. And a little bit of we've been here before mentality, and it doesn't work that way. You know, every college football player at this level works hard year-round. And sometimes when the only film you have on a team is the film from last year, it will lull you into a sense of we're better than these guys, and people change. And, you know, obviously evident with the evolution of a young quarterback by VMI, and Sparky Woods does a great job with those quarterbacks. He coaches the quarterbacks. I don't think the quarterbacks would love to be coached by me, because I'd coach them. They'd be working out of a three-point stance.
That would be entertaining to watch, though.
Oh, yeah. It would be some new clinic material. I coached quarterbacks one year, and we wound up going undefeated. And I coached him like an offensive lineman, though. And he's now the head coach at Davidson. That's where I coached him.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Joe, thanks so much. I know you want to get to the kids and get back to work there. Thanks a lot for the time. Congrats on the opener, and good luck this Saturday in Poughkeepsie.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin. You guys take care. I appreciate you having interest in our program.
Very much so. Thanks so much, Joe.
Take care, gentlemen. Bye.
Joe Susan, the outstanding head football coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ray Bucknell, Ray Bucknell, Ray for your blue. Ray, 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 Ray for your blue. Ray Bucknell, Ray Bucknell, Ray for your blue.
That's a nice tradition at the end of every Bucknell win that you get a chance to hear, and got a chance to hear that at Christie on Saturday night.
Let's hope they have to say it a few more times this season, like eight or nine more.
I could live with that.
It's a good start for them. I think it's a great start. So they have, and they have, Marist, by the way, won 27-14 over Bucknell last year. So they won't have the overconfident feeling of, hey, we beat them last year. That all won't exist this time.
Yeah, all these games have been rather close with Marist and Bucknell over the last several years.
Yeah, well, they'll play in Poughkeepsie, and that will be Saturday at 6. The Nittany Lions will kick off at noon, and Shikellamy...
Home opener.
Oh, brother. Which means we're going to get the pierogi report, Steve, from Kevin.
Are you allowed to do that anymore? What are you allowed to do now?
What, as far as... As far as pregame meal,
yeah,
It's a lot. It's rather challenging. I did not have a pregame meal this past week, actually.
No wonder you're grumpy. All right,
that's true.
You'll be off the air. You guys should hear him off the air. Yeah. It's like Bob and I have our hands up.
Oh,
it's
man,
like we don't really know how to handle it.
I miss the halushki. So, yeah. That's what I miss.
Well,
are you allowed to have halushki?
I can in moderation.
Yeah. He needs a doctor's note.
Is 8 bowls moderation?
Yeah.
No, 4 might be moderation, yeah. 3.
All right. You are driving. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Kevin now is driving an incredible Ford F-150.
Yeah, it's an F-150
wow.
Lariat. And it is very well equipped, including something I didn't know that was available, not only on a car, but a truck, is air-conditioned seats. That's really awesome.
Wow.
I have to admit, air-conditioned seats is really, really nice. 75 F-150s in stock right now at Sunbury Motors, $7,500 off, starting as low as $22,859. I actually feel more powerful driving that vehicle than any other vehicle I've driven, including anywhere.
Sunbury Motors knows you actually have one of their vehicles, or did you just get it off the lot when they weren't looking?
Well, they know now.
Oh, okay.
They know now.
Yes, they know now. But not only that, it's the great service from the time you walk through the door. They understand your financial situation. They understand what your practical everyday needs are for the vehicle. And after that, whether it's routine or anything else, their service department is second to none.
But, yeah, Kevin may have the F-150, but I'm telling you what, Steve, I'm not trading my Ford Taurus from Sunbury Motors for anything. I love my Ford Taurus. But Kevin's
beautiful
a truck kind
vehicle.
Of a guy. You know, he is. I understand.
Feel more powerful.
Yeah.
It does.
More powerful.
I actually feel more powerful driving that. They have 75 of them in stock right now, the number one selling truck for 37 straight years.
It's a Ford F-150 available at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Tell them that you'd like to take Kevin's truck.
Yeah. Can I have the Kevin Hermobile, please?
There's more room in the back of that truck in the extended cab part of
it
than in any vehicle I've ever driven as well. We put the boy back there, and I said, "How's the seat back there?" He goes, "You got to get this one." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I have plenty of room. I could lay down across the whole thing." I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly what we need you to do, is take a nap while we're driving."
And he does.
And then I thought about it, and I thought, yes, we do need you to take a nap while I'm driving.
Well, it has air-conditioned seats, and believe me, I've always been concerned whether your seat was air-conditioned. All right.
Listen, this weekend, those air-conditioned seats came in handy.
Ooh.
Let me tell you.
Brutal.
I know you're in a little bit of a climate adjustment from what you saw over in Ireland.
Steve, it looked a little cool over at Croke Park, judging by the way the crowd was dressed.
You know, 61, comfortable.
Great for
easy.
Football.
No. Yeah, it's perfect football weather. It's one of the reasons that they could play numbers that were limited in the game. You know, they only played 3 linebackers. They really played 6 offensive linemen. Wendy Laurent was actually an extra tight end in blocking situations. So you can keep those numbers down when the weather is cool and comfortable like that. And you don't have to play extensive numbers when it's 57 to 61 degrees, and that's what it was there. They did the Irish hurling thing. I want to tell you right now, that was a blast.
I saw some of that on television, actually. They were covering a little bit of it.
Yes, they did.
It's great.
I have no idea what was going on, but it looked good.
Steve, could you announce?
We do know what's going on because they did an hour and a half demonstration for us on Thursday.
Nice.
Would you like to announce Irish hurling?
It's fun. It's fast. It's the fastest game on grass.
It just sounds like something completely different to me. I can't get over it.
And Jack and I actually did a little commentary on it at halftime.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, he's good.
That's what I get for going to the fridge for lunch or late breakfast, Jack, as it were.
Jack even analyzed how one player moved. I looked over at him. I said, man, you could do hurling too. You're good.
He is good.